Welcome to the Motocross Save My Life podcast with your host, Brent Airmail Ward.
In 1980, Brent won a Canadian motocross national title at age 14. In the years after, his life spiraled out of control from alcoholism and depression. 26 years later, he won that battle and returned to the motocross track. But 2 years later, he crashed hard at Canada's biggest race, shattering his spine and leaving him paralyzed.
Find out now how Brent continues his latest incredible comeback and how he can help you do the same. No matter what obstacle you face, you can overcome. Giving you a voice speaking about all things mental health, motocross, sport, or whatever your crisis in life may be. Here's your host of Motocross Saved My Life, Brent Airmail Worrell.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Motocross Save My Life talk radio show. I am your host, Brent Worrell, coming to you live from Burnham, BC. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, log in, hit up that interactive chat board. Great show lined up again tonight here, episode 2, second live episode, co-hosted with my good friend and psychotherapist, Kevin Lefebvre. Kevin, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing excellent tonight, Brent. Thanks so much again for having me on the show. It's awesome to be here.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's been a month since we did this. The month has flown by, lots of things happening, but in an effort to share my story with Motocross Saved My Life and to keep the mental health conversation going and helping to smash down stigmatism and just to, you know, ease the tension around the general topic, lots going on in the world that we're all aware of, and just to focus on positivity, sharing some of the stories and hearing from some of the others that aren't too proudly to, you know, talk about some of the things that we're going to talk about and wave that flag proudly.
Yeah, exactly. It's motocross is such a mental game. And so I think that, you know, it's coming together and kind of bringing these topics to the forefront, to the moto community. And like you say, smashing the stigma, because stigma ends up being self-limiting. And in order to really, I think, you know, have the mindset of a champion, you have to put aside the thinking and the learning that plagued you when you were younger in order to take on new challenges, in order to step up, in order to set new goals and keep pushing yourself higher. So I'm just glad we have this opportunity. I'm looking forward to our guest tonight.
Yeah, our guests tonight are as follows: GDR Honda Canada Foxhead rider Tanner Ward. Great year for Tanner. I got to reconnect with Tanner at Walton Raceway. We'll talk a little bit about the mental health awareness ride out there. But forwardly focused to this weekend's Future West Arena Cross Series send-off. I'm so happy that it worked out. Tanner can be on his way out here. We're going to hear from Tanner any second now. Former Motocross of Nations manager and our good friend Cycle North boss Courtney Lloyd will check in with the show. She was also back at Walton Raceway and deeply involved with this sport, sharing her passion across the country. Calgary, Alberta, some heavy news out of there last week. Condolences to the Gutek family. In fact, I reached out to a man we're going to have on the show tonight, one of the pioneers of the Bent Methods podcast, Mr. Jared Pastruska. All I can say is that love heals all, and let's keep this conversation going, friends. And I am not too proud to beat the drums and share my story. And I'm thankful that Jared will do the same tonight. So on that note, Kevin, I'm going to start yakking about things that don't make a lot of sense, and we're going to get some people on that hopefully do and share the love of the new mental health movement. Bear with us. The chair's on the air. We'll be right back.
You want it? make you believe that I've got the key. Oh, so get in the car.
Listening to the Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio Show. Now introducing our special guest. Here are your hosts, Brent Worrell and Kevin LaFave.
Well, there we go. That was easy. On the line right now from somewhere in Ontario, I'm assuming, Mr. Tanner Ward. Thank you for checking in with Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio.
Oh, no problem. I obviously really appreciate you guys having me on, and awesome that you guys have a great platform to talk about mental health.
Yeah, and I got to thinking about it. I watched that little clip back that we did at the end of the day at Gopher Dunes there, and how adamantly proud you were to be able to talk about and share your story. And after the week and the weekend and what you left on the track, off the track, the energy you used, just to see that passion, I just couldn't wait to do this and follow up on it. But before we get into that and I yak anymore, I'm going to introduce you to my friend and psychotherapist, Mr. Kevin LaFave. Kevin, welcome Tanner Ward to Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio.
Hey, Tanner, I'm so glad to have you here, and I'm really excited to have you out at the Arena Cross this weekend, too.
Yeah, thank you so much, and yeah, like I said, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It's, excited just to talk mental health, talk dirt bikes, and like I said, I'm super excited.
Okay, Tanner, I'm going to start.
For sure.
I'm going to start it off here. I've been following, and I've had some questions. Just based on the season, didn't get to talk about it a lot at Walton building up. What did it feel like going into that final weekend, knowing that what was on the table with the mental health awareness ride, an anniversary, a celebration of sorts at a place that is very near and dear to home to you, in fact, family at Walton Raceway. Maybe just share on that a little bit to set the table of the mental health awareness ride.
Yeah, obviously this year it was our third annual ride with me, which is a bike ride that I put on with the Panda Stuffer Foundation and, of course, everyone at Walton Raceway. We do it it's going to be Saturday. It always varies. The National sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, but always the day before the National, so this year it was on the Saturday. And, it was awesome. Obviously, third year, so I kind of knew what I was getting myself into, and obviously with this year, with I had a lot more at stake with obviously being in the championship hunt going on to Sunday. So it was awesome though, being able to put that on in these times, and I think it was more important than ever to have something like that happen this year with COVID and everything that's happened. I feel like a lot more people are experiencing depression, anxiety. And to be able to talk about mental health, I think this year, obviously whenever is important, but to be able to put that on this year was, I think, meant a lot to a lot of people. And it was awesome. It went great. I'm glad, super thankful for the whole entire Tanner Stuffer Foundation and the Walton Raceway for allowing me to have a platform to talk about mental health. It's really, really important to me. It hit close to home with my brother, and, yeah, I'm glad we were able to have our third annual ride with me be super successful. We raised $14,000, which is doubles what we've ever done, and only up from here.
Yeah, and, I don't know why, but as a result of a couple of things that happened in my life from June on, even by August 1st, I just said to my wife, I don't know why, but I just had like an out-of-body compulsion to go back to Walton Raceway and celebrate with you and to help carry the flag and share my story and what it spun off of in the way of positivity and what I want to do next. I mean, I would have never imagined what can come out of you know, that kind of sacrifice and commitment just to be there with brothers and sisters. And like you said, that feeling we had, I've since then found out more about the Steffler Foundation, and I too now feel like I belong to that area.
Yeah, it's awesome that you feel that way and that we can be able to do that. It's our goal is just to obviously, you know, bring people in, see people, bring people together, laugh, and always just forget about a lot of things and just enjoy the moment and just have fun. And like you said, with you coming, I honestly can't thank you enough. You did a lot of advertising and promotion for me, and that was unasked from us, and you just did that out of your heart, and that means a lot. You know, you drew a lot of attention to our bike ride and mental health and PTSD and anxiety, depression, everything that goes along with mental health. It's like I said, I really appreciate you doing that, and I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, thanks so much. And, you know, it's really precipitated the next chapter for me. I'm not going to blow too much smoke about that right now. I actually let it out of the bag with Courtney Lloyd this afternoon. And, you know, that comes to one of the common bonds I've found dealing with people with, you know, that have experienced similar things that we're dealing with. It's fine. People ask me, you know, what's the key? What do I do? The number one thing that I could do was find people like Kevin, my wife, and a couple others that I can confide in and trust. And for me, that's where the healing started.
Yeah, exactly. It's obviously having people in your corner is a big thing in life. And sometimes something I learned over the last couple of years was just honestly before my brother dealt with his mental health and unfortunately committed suicide, and which obviously started all this and the reason that I'm doing this today. I'll be completely honest, I didn't know too much about mental health. Obviously, I feel like a couple of years ago wasn't as big as it is today, and obviously I've learned so much. And yeah, one thing I've learned is that before I was always like, oh, if you're struggling, reach out. But a big thing that I think it actually happened over like Instagram, someone kind of said it in a good way, was just you reach out to your friends, and like if you're not struggling, if you feel someone's struggling, you be the person to reach out, because not everyone in those situations aren't willing to reach out. And I think that's a big thing too, is just having, yeah, like you said, those people to trust. It's you can't trust everybody. You never know who to trust. And if you can have those couple of people you trust help you along the way, that's a big thing.
Yeah, I reached a point in my personal life this June where I just said, you know what, F it. Socks at the wall. I'm going to be who I am and pledge allegiance to those and what I believe in. And the rest that do or don't follow or believe, I can't let it affect me, because it's had too much of a grave impact on my life for way too long.
Yeah, exactly. You got to just live life how you want to. Honestly, it's I know it's a lot easier said than done, but it's can't please everyone. You got to please yourself. You can make yourself your main priority. It's your mental health, your just your well-being in general, make that your priority. It's I think it's important over your job, over your income, whatever it is. Obviously, if you have family, everyone puts their family first, but sometimes you got to put yourself first, and I think that's important.
Yeah, we are what we are, and we can only be what we can be. And that little tag I put on that Instagram post today that said mental wealth is health. Well, it's both. It's everything. It's got to start somewhere. I mean, I got to be before I can be. Okay, one thing that I do well, and that's talk and talk a lot, and my apologies to my listeners. Kevin Lefebvre, you're out there patiently waiting. I know you've been anxiously looking forward to Tanner. What kind of things, what kind of thoughts are spinning with you based on your experiences with what you do, what you've seen in me, where we've been, and where we've come from?
Yeah, well, Tanner, I sure appreciate getting this opportunity to chat with you, because you've come through an incredible journey, and I'm sure happy that you know, you feel comfortable with us sharing some of that journey. And I sure want to just kind of validate that and just draw some attention to a couple of things that you said. Like, I really appreciate how you said, you know, the goal is to connect with others. you know, the goal is to kind of raise some awareness, and the goal is to encourage people to reach out to those that might be struggling, because those that are struggling, they might not know that they are, and they might not know that they can reach out, or, you know, shame and stigma might be keeping them back. You know, and I think one thing that becomes really important when we focus on ourselves and, you know, just like what you said, Brent, socks to the wall, we really can't pay attention to other people's opinions, because, you know, we can do great things and people will trash us on the internet, or we can do lousy things and people trash us on the internet. We really have to pay attention to our own goals and our own priorities, and not pay too much attention to what other people are saying or doing, because it can really distract us from our goals. And I think that we're just as vulnerable to excessive praise when we've done something well, just as susceptible as we would be to excessive criticism. And so I just really appreciate, and Tanner, I just want to really appreciate you, and just thank you for you articulating. You've got goals. Some of them are motocross related, but some of them are even beyond that, and it's in the mental health realm. And I sure admire you at such a young age to be raising such awareness and to be able to put together this Ride With Me program for the last 3 years. And I hope it gets even bigger next year for you.
Yeah, I really appreciate those kind words. It's something I knew I had to do. And with my family and I kind of sat down once stuff, you know, settled down after my brother passed away. We didn't see it coming, honestly, and it obviously was a big hit on our family. And I knew with a little bit of pull I had in the motocross industry, and especially here in Canada, that, you mean, if I can help one person, I did my job. I did what I set out to do. And obviously the goal is just to get the awareness for mental health, and for people who've never dealt with it or who haven't been up close and personal with the family member or whatnot, then maybe just to be able to see what those signs are of someone who is struggling or who's reaching out for help but not actually saying those words that are reaching out for help. And maybe a person like myself who didn't know much about mental health before, and I want family members to see that if their child, brother, whatever, if struggling, they can see those signs, and that's my goal, is to obviously I have a bunch of goals with this, but my main goal is to raise awareness for mental health and for people to realize like what the signs are, and that mental health is, we all struggle with it one way or another, even if we aren't diagnosed with depression or anxiety, or we all struggle with it. We all have great days, but I feel we all have bad days as well, and it's something that we all deal with, but obviously some people are too more extreme. It's not like a broken arm, you know. You go into the hospital, they're out, you broke your arm, let's put a cast, or you're out for 6 weeks or can't use it for 6 weeks. I feel like everybody's different, and it's, you can't just pinpoint one way to recover from it. And it's definitely a moving target the biggest scientists in the world are still trying to figure out the brain.
Brent, are you sure this guy doesn't have a degree already in psychology? Because he's talking like a pro here.
What I really like about this whole thing is one of the common denominators for me with people I talk about are mental health, is I can tell the people that are passionate about talking about it and not doing about it because they want it on a resume or because they have to. They do it because they believe in it. And I get more passion as much equally out of Tanner talking about mental health, the love for his family and the racing community, as I do his results. And I know that for a fact because we were in the bite of the champagne spray as Dylan Wright's motor was about to implode, as its throttle was being wrung the neck of, and Tanner's bike blew up in the first moto, throwing his chances to win the title pretty much out the window. And I looked at him because I could see it. I said, "How does that make you feel right now?" And he says, "Not that good, but you know what? We got to talk about these things. We need an outlet to let them out." Because my experience has been anything like that that I ever kept in from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, changed my character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. It's people like yourself, Brent, who you're making a difference. You're allowing, you know, like myself, come on, and people come on and just talk about mental health, and it's not a very popular thing that's been done before, where, you know, we have podcasts and, I'm obviously loving seeing it grow. It's awesome to see it, and this is a pretty common saying, but break the stigma, it's obviously easier said than done when you're dealing with it. We can sit here right now and say, reach out to the people, whatever, but I think it all comes down to having people around you and us reaching out to them as well. I think that's been important too.
Okay. Hey,
Tanner,
go ahead, Kev.
Brent, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to just really kind of build on that, because you mentioned people can struggle with depression and anxiety, and I agree with you. It's an invisible kind of illness compared to a broken arm. And one thing I would just want to encourage listeners, if you've got a friend that you think is off a little bit, I would just encourage you to just compassionately check in. How are you? Can I help you? Do you need an ear to listen? Because depression and anxiety, they often go together as a couple. You very seldom really just get one at a time. They often go together as a couple. You might only get one diagnosis if you actually got help, but they go together as a couple. And so a person that might be a little bit down, they're probably also anxious too. So that just doubles the reason why we should be checking in with them. They know that they're down. They know that they're not doing things. They know that they're retreating into their house. They're not going out, or they're not participating in activities they used to enjoy. They're probably also feeling anxious about people noticing their absence. So I just encourage people, reach out. And Tanner,
exactly.
Thank you again for drawing attention, because people sometimes will think of PTSD as this big thing, but then they fail to consider depression and anxiety. And PTSD is really earmarked by symptoms of depression and anxiety. They overlap tremendously. And one is not necessarily worse than the other. They all can be somewhat resilient to treat if we don't give them the attention. So again, just thank you for drawing attention to depression and anxiety in particular, because I think that gets overlooked a lot.
For sure. It's obviously my goal since I started, I can't technically call it a foundation because we're not registered as a foundation, but maybe non-profit, but Racing for Mental Wellness is actually where it all started for me. It was more or less just like an Instagram page, I don't actually really have like a title for it, a support group or whatnot, and then it obviously turned into the bike ride, but I still have that's the reason I started it from 2018 was I knew I needed to change something, and obviously a lot of motocross industry, we're pretty competitive people, and I obviously never want to see that go away, but I do know people struggle, and it's pretty hard when you go from being on the spotlight every weekend, and then maybe your career's done, and you're not in that spotlight anymore. I mean, it can cause anxiety, which can cause depression. Like we said before, it's not easy to deal with, and some people might not even realize that that's what they are, or that's what they're struggling with. And you never want to see it get worse and worse and worse. But I figure if I can start in the motocross community and make it go big from there, it's not much work for who I could help in the end and what I could do in the end.
That is so awesome to be able to piggyback the message of mental wealth with your sport and your number one passion. Fast forward, I want to talk a little bit about the cowbell. I drove Gisela out there, some 15 kilometers from Walton Raceway. One, she couldn't believe how far it was, but two, how celestially grand that place was. How cool is that cowbell?
Yeah, it's beautiful. I remember I was told how much money that place was, but it's beautiful, and we've been there twice now out of the 3 years. Last year, 2020, we just kept it at Walton because of the COVID things, but our first year in 2019 and then our second year here in 2021, they've treated us unbelievable. Obviously, for those who did come to the ride, it was a little bit on our end, a little bit on their end with our lunch that we had. It didn't go as planned, but besides that, that place is Sorry to hear that truck. It's yeah, besides that, that place is beautiful. It's it's when you show up, it's just like, whoa. It's in little small town of Blythe, which is, yeah, you said 15 kilometers from Walton, which on our bike ride this year, it didn't feel 15 kilometers on the way there with the wind, but it was 15 kilometers.
It felt 35 for me. What did it feel for you?
I was trying to keep it light. I mean, going back to the racers mentality, we're all competitive. We're all kind of like pushing each other. I'm like, hey, boys, we got a race tomorrow. But it felt a little long.
Yeah, it sure motivated me because I've challenged myself to do 400K here outdoors in October because the ride that I'm planning as early as next June is 400K, and I want to do four century rides in a row if I can, but I don't know. This 55-year-old is dreaming big time.
Yeah, it's good to have goals. It's good to set those small goals and then to reach it to a big goal. It's the same thing as motocross, obviously, and it's the same thing can go with your mental health. It's if you can reach those small little goals and build up to a big goal, you know, you're achieving things and just helps you keep on moving forward, moving upward. And I think that's important, is just setting small goals to reach that big goal. And for you in that case, that big goal is to do that 400-kilometer ride. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and beyond for sure. Hey, Hangtown, Tanner, man, that must have happened really quickly, but you made it down there. Awesome first moto. The second moto, tell me about the experience. I watched it like a hawk, but I cannot believe how obliterated that track was in the second moto. Tell me about it. It sure looked gnarly.
Yeah, that trip was unreal. We obviously raced the weekend before at Gopher for the last Supercross race, and obviously that went awesome. And then, yeah, it was supposed to be Dylan and I driving together, but then unfortunately he had a pretty big crash the first weekend of Supercross, so he wasn't getting me ready. So I had to beg my mechanic to take time off work and let's go road trip. And then hopped in my van, just him and I, and my dad flew in. And it was awesome. I really didn't know what to expect. I knew I could for sure be in the top 20. Started the day off good, qualifying out. I got put in the B group, so qualified first out of the B group. And I really enjoyed the track. It was super fun, but to be in the second moto of the day, they put 450s first. It got pretty gnarly. As a racer, I'm always like, I could have done better, and I for sure could have done better. In the first moto, there was like two or three guys right ahead of me at the end that I just maybe could have pushed a little bit harder to try and get those couple spots. And then that second moto, I was going, I think I just got an 18th and was passing, trying to pass for 17th, and just made a little mistake going down one of those hills and had a pretty bad crash. But nonetheless, it was super fun, a lot different than here in Canada. That track was crazy. There was more fans than I've ever seen in my life. You heard them. And then when I crashed, I was kind of on the side of the track for a second, and they're like, check in, make sure I was good. And it was pretty fun. But, it was an awesome time. I'm definitely going to do more in the future.
Yeah, and, you know, just getting back to that second moto with how dry it was there in that area just outside of Sacramento, it almost looked like the surface of the moon at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was super dry, and it wasn't like the hottest, but like coming from the East Coast and going there, and then I actually got pretty sick, and it wasn't COVID because we had to get COVID tested on the way home, but I got pretty sick with just like a super bad head cold, so it was pretty hard to breathe even to begin with, and then with it being kind of hot and dry, it definitely wasn't the best. So it's track got super, I don't even really know how to explain it. Like when you think of rough, you think of big bumps, big breaking bumps, like deep ruts. And it wasn't that. It was pretty deep ruts, but like it's like almost like just like big holes. Like the dirt just kind of broke away and just like big square edge holes and like kind of sketchy. But
it looked like decomposing petrified lava to me.
Yeah, it's I remember doing the hot lap, I'm like, damn, this is going to be a long 30 minutes of navigating this track. But it's you think that, and then you kind of find a flow, and I actually had a really good flow going about mid-moto, and I was liking it. I found some lines where it was a lot smoother, and it was I actually really liked the track with second moto. And I felt like I was putting on a decent charge. And obviously, just made a pass, was ready to make another pass, and just a dumb little mistake on my end, and it put me to the ground pretty hard.
Yeah, that's around the same time my neighbors found out, too, because I reacted negatively, let's just say, and not really, though. I was just hoping you were going to be okay because, you know, thinking that winning mindset attitude that we're talking about, Tanner, you know, with thinking that on that parade lap for the final moto, what's the race slot? Is it looking for that flow? Where does that extra come from that you had to dig for?
Just obviously just like any other race, you do the hot lap and then just as soon as we're done, you're only focus on getting that good start because it's going to put you in a good position. And then done so many races in my life that that you just kind of let the rest fall into place and react to it as it comes. Obviously you kind of have a game plan going into the race, but you don't want to overthink it. So it's just kind of what my mindset was there at that race.
All right, my friend, heading out to Future West Arena Cross. Before I let you thank all of those making it possible, I'm going to wish you luck. And I know you've been out west before, the first time in 2015 with Justin Thompson. I got to think you're going to have a lot of that experience with you. I look forward to watching the results. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to make it down there for a weekend, but we're going to do our best to try. Kevin, what have you got for GDR Honda's Tanner Ward heading into this weekend's race in Chilliwack and beyond?
Yeah, Tanner, I won't be able to go down there to see you either, but best of luck to you down there, and go slay it. Go slay it.
Great to have you. I'm super excited to come out there. I've never done the Future West. It always looks like it's a good time. Obviously, I know a lot of the guys that to race in. I'll be racing a lot of the guys that actually race this year. And just looking forward to having a good time. I love racing. There's nothing better than racing to me, and that's why I wake up in the morning is to be better at the next race. So, you know, to race more and not just sit here at home is big to me. And I can't thank obviously the whole entire GDR Honda Canada Fox Racing team making this happen, and especially Ryan Lockhart and Courtney Lloyd. They put this program together and kind of got me out there and Nuke is housing me and wrenching for me, and maybe we'll be the new dream team after these, I think it's seven rounds. So after these seven rounds are done.
All right. Another man for the journey karaoke at coming to a race near you. Don't stop believing. I threw out a photo of Newf there from 2012. I think that was his first full year out here. A really good man that I'm proud to call a friend, as I am you, Tanner Ward. Thanks so much. I can't wait till next year, because even though Kevin won't say it out loud now, I know you got him thinking about the cowbell too.
Yeah, I hope so. Obviously I came on here to talk mental health, and obviously I want to draw as much people as I can to Walton for the bike ride, and then that's my platform to talk about mental health and talk about it's a normal thing to be struggling with depression, anxiety, and it's one of the ones I like, and it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to recognize those problems and then get help and get better from there. It's we're in the 21st century now. We're okay to talk about those things. Times have changed, and I know in our sport you need to be tough. Well, you need to be tough to ride a dirt bike, but in my eyes, you're tougher if you can talk about your mental health.
Hear, hear, amen. Tanner Ward, thanks, buddy. Kill it, my friend. I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you so much, Brent and Kevin. I appreciate you guys letting me come on.
Thanks, Tanner. Good luck.
With the circle. so tell your jacket really gets me off. I live in a tent with the world's strongest man. When I met the mother like it broke my hand. My baby, she's a lady in the high wire act. When I'm feeling tense, she walks on my back. Now the bear's okay, the benefits are great. I get to shoot the bull with the world's smartest ape. Uh-huh. I'm the human cannonball. A human cannonball, y'all. Well, I'm a hot shot. I'm a cool breeze underneath the...
You're listening to the Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio Show. Now introducing our special guest. Here are your hosts, Brent Worrell and Kevin LaFave.
All right, Motocross Saved My Life Mental Health Talk Radio, back on the air with a man from Calgary, Alberta, I'm assuming, Jared Petruska, Bent Methods Podcast. Welcome to the Motocross Saved My Life Mental Health Talk Radio Show. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. How's the show going tonight?
It's going really well on my behalf. Let me introduce you to Kevin LaFave. Kevin, my friend from Penticton, BC.
Hey,
hey Kevin,
Jared.
What's up?
Good to have you on the line.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah,
little
thanks
this,
for having
little
me, guys.
That. Glad to have you here.
Awesome. Wednesday night, my friend. It's been a while since I've seen you. In fact, I think 2019 was the last time in person at the first round of the MRC Racing Nationals. How have you been?
You know, had a little bit of ups and downs, but right now we're doing pretty well. Yeah, after racing last year, I had a couple pretty good whacks of the head, and you know, I've dealt with the post-concussion thing for it pretty much seems like my whole life, so yeah, I've been getting some treatments, and we're getting back on track, so that's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome, and my bad, I should back it up a little bit. I talked to you about it on the phone. Our history goes back to Walton Transcan 2009. You were out there with MXP Magazine and fitness guru Drew Robertson as an intermediate that year, 2009. So our history pretty much goes back to then. That was an important race for me.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a big moment in your life, right? And yeah, that's the first time I think I met you. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Hey, did the book I send you show up?
I went to the mailbox last night. I haven't got it yet, I don't think.
Okay,
but, yeah,
the
I need to read that thing for sure.
Hey, this is a good opportunity for me to give myself a shameless plug. www.brentworrell.com, Motocross Saved My Life, available on multiple platforms, ebooks as low as $3.99. Helped me a lot, this Motocross Saved My Life Mental Health Talk Radio effort. I am not paying Kevin's wages. He is doing this strictly out of the good of his heart, as am I, and as are you and your partner with Bent Methods Podcast, Keelan Meston. Hats off to you guys for waving the flag proudly.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I guess the reason we started the whole Bent Methods, at least for myself, was to bring more awareness to mental health and concussions, particularly. Just to, you know, it seems, you know, you kind of go to the ER after you hit your head and they don't really tell you much. Maybe they'll send you for a CT and they'll say, oh, you're fine. And they don't really give you a ton of information. So I kind of want to, you know, I think in the motocross community, people, I think more often than not, at some point at least, deal with some kind of concussions. And I don't think it's taken seriously enough. And I just want to, you know, bring more awareness to that because, yeah, it definitely can, it can play a huge role in your life and your mental health. And I just want people to be aware of that and aware of treatment methods and yeah, just, you know, take it a little more seriously, I guess.
Kevin, I'm going to let you speak on that. You know, we've talked about some of the ramifications of head injuries. And one of the things I suffer from personally with my PTSD and my post-concussion syndrome is brain swelling. And I have a failing bladder. And every time I get a bladder infection, my brain swells. So I deal with post-concussion symptoms probably three times a year from bladder infections. So anyway, that's my personal experience. We've got some medical things on the go, but I'm really intrigued too, Jared, to hear about some of the things that you're learning from about the doctor that you've been working with. You haven't spoken on that yet, but I know that you've made it your personal mission to find out more and share what you know, like you said, beyond that assessment room, because we see it daily. We see it in racers, and it's pretty hard to tell someone unless there's a system in place like they have in the NFL where they can actually physically remove the player. And I'm just thankful that people within the sport who have so much to lose, as per se, or gain in the way of their life and their longevity and not suffering for a lifetime. I'm thankful that you've stepped up and are doing this. Kevin, your turn, my friend.
Yeah, Jared, I think that's a really important consideration. And I'm glad that you guys are putting on this podcast. I didn't know about it until Brent told me about it the other day, and I was watching it. I was really enjoying it. The concussions are part of the sport that everybody has to manage, perhaps at some point in their career. And the longer that you're in the sport, the more possibility there is that you could end up with one. And there's a difference between being medically fine and having the same quality of life as what you used to have. And for a lot of people that have hit their heads, and I don't know how much this is true for you, but they may have like increased sensitivity to light or to noise, or more adverse reactions to, smell of certain foods, or, flickering in the lights in their office or the school. And that kind of constant irritation can really wear a person down. And you referenced depression and anxiety in regard to a concussion. And I think that's one of the symptoms, a couple of the conditions that people don't consider. They only look at what the CT scan shows, and most of the times CT scans won't reveal anything that's medically significant, but it can sure have impacts on lifestyle. And if people were to be a little bit more aware of that, they might treat post-concussions and survivors just a little bit differently. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would 100% agree with that. Actually, we're having the doctor I've been seeing. He's a neuroscientist, and he's been kind of helping me with my treatments over the past few months here. We're having him on the Bent Methods podcast tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to bringing more knowledge as a from the scientific perspective. Because I've done different treatments in the past, and it's kind of been functional neurology, kind of just they do tests and they can do different activities to activate parts of the brain. But this one that I found a few months ago, it's called Nirvana Health in Calgary, and they do an actual brain map, and they'll actually tell you what parts of your brain aren't functioning. So it's a really hard scientific a knowledge of what is actually happening in the brain. And I think that can also help. They don't treat just people with concussions. They treat people with PTSD, depression, anxiety, and they actually do these brain maps, and they show what part of the brain is actually not functioning. So I think that can actually help remove a bit of the stigma behind the mental health, because it's one thing to say, sometimes it's hard for people to understand what you're going through, but if you can show them on paper or in a video what actually is happening up to the brain, then it's pretty much undeniable that that's happening, right?
Yeah, that's Kevin, you and I have talked about, cognitive reboot, cognitive biases, and some of the things that I'm watching are scaring me, and I'm intrigued by it, and I think it's going to, open up a lot of eyes and ears to the fact that, we're only responsible for that which we can control. And if things are happening in our body medically, we need to find out what they are and, hopefully have a chance to get them back on the right track.
Yeah. And I think it's also about even optimizing, optimizing where your brain health is at. And if you've had an injury, it can offer, these kinds of assessments can offer some really good assurance, to reduce the anxiety about not healing up or the anxiety about not being able to get back into the sport. And so having team members, such as at the Nirvana Clinic, can really go a long way to keeping a person who is maybe off their motorcycle and having to heal up, keeping them motivated, right? Keeping them from becoming, feeling like despondent or hopeless, or keeping them from feeling sort of all those adverse effects that are secondary and not primary to the concussion.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think that, like, it's just, it's reassuring too, because sometimes when you're, you know, you're going through a tough time and you're depressed or you have anxiety, and you can second guess yourself, and it's like, well, am I just being a baby? Especially in the sport we are in, right? Like, motocross is like a tough guy sport, and you don't want to feel like you're weak. But if you go to these clinics and you can actually get physical, it's really reassuring. Like, the first time I went to Nirvana and got my brain map, I'm like, oh, well, this makes so much sense. Like, they're telling me things that different parts of my brain and why I would be acting certain ways. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not crazy. So, and that's almost motivating in itself, because they have these treatments. Like, they give me these neurofeedbacks that I do, and they give me a whole supplement plan. And there's like a real good plan in place. It's like, okay, I'll go do 8 neurofeedback treatments, and then we'll do another brain map. And well, in the meantime, you're doing all these supplements, and there's peptides and all this kind of stuff you can do. And then you do another brain map at 8 weeks, and then you get another brain map and you see the progress, and then you're like, okay, there's actually hope for this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and so, you get better in like your sleep and your appetite, and you regulate yourself while you're healing. And to be able to have that evidence after a second assessment, a third assessment at the 8-week mark to show the progress becomes, I think, really quite validating. You're on the right track, and it can really make the time to full recovery just seem just a little bit easier, and it's not so daunting, and it's, you don't have to rush back, and you don't have to put on that masculine front to show you're strong or you're tough. You take your time and work with the team that you trust, and it sounds like you've got a good team on board.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole team's been amazing. So, yeah.
You know, what I'm getting out of this for me, dealing with the PTSD and stuff, some of the things that we're still processing, Kevin and I, because, like, I'm in the middle of something right now that I don't want to talk about, because I'm still in a volatile, unsafe environment in regards to it. But what's getting me through on a daily basis is connecting like I'm doing now. It's giving me confidence, my daily routine, my dedication to my personal fitness, and planning and being patient. And that's something that I've never been that patient my whole life. It's just more of an instant gratification thing. I'm the type of person that the more adrenaline I fire at it, the quicker it will resolve itself. And it's finding that balance now. And to be able to plan this show today, I probably did it more methodically and patiently than I've ever done in the past with Canadian Moto Shows and everything. And that's a real calming feeling. And it's only as a result of sharing my thoughts and feelings with people that know what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great stuff, friend.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay.
I think stuff like this, it's there's no doubt that, having someone to talk to about this stuff and connection can go a long way with confidence and, like reassurance, I guess. And I think that with the Nirvana program, it gives you some real hard evidence of what's actually going on. And I go to a therapist myself for PTSD, and doing EMDR, and there's all these different kinds of things you can do. And I think it's great to have all these different outlets.
Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing. I look forward to paying attention. I really enjoyed the blog that I read, Keelan's blog and yours on your site, Bent Methods. I found a little bit more about JASIC, but unfortunately, one of the symptoms that I've really struggled with in the last 2 years dealing with depression and processing some of the things that are current in my life and very tough to deal with, is everything seems to take so long, and it's just like everything's in slow motion some days.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, learning to be patient. And I think like having like a drawn out path to recovery is something that can help with patience, right? Because when you have a plan in place, you understand that it's probably going to be a slow burn to get to where you want to be, but you can set these little landmarks okay, I'm feeling a bit better now, and I'm feeling a bit better at this point, and then I'll feel even better at this point, and I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, no, I like that. Setting goals in increments, that's something that I've never done. I mean, I always, you know, end game focus to get me through and deny the senses on things that are tough. I mean, that's a survival technique, but I mean, that's eroding on the daily and very tiring.
One thing I'll just add to this conversation, Brent, is, you know, those days where it's really hard and where maybe the symptoms show up a little bit more, that in itself is actually a sign of the brain healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we're talking about PTSD and we're talking about, you know, emotions that are very deep and at the core of who a person is, when the brain starts throwing some of those emotions out, that's actually one of the signs of progress. It doesn't feel like progress. It feels like it's a step back in the moment. It feels like it's a step backwards, and it can contribute to people feeling, you know, like maybe the work they put in doesn't count or it's not the right strategy, but it's actually a sign of healing. So it's a little bit of a paradox. And I kind of like how this conversation's unfolding, where we're talking about getting a team together, we're planning some things, we're setting some goals, being very patient. The team can help us to become persistent, you know, and get us to practice certain things like the biofeedback, like what Jerry was talking about, and it can track the progress. And these things all collectively, I think they can paint a really good picture for what healing and health can look like. And then that allows everybody on that team to just set up an opportunity at some point to really celebrate the achievement of, you know, reestablishing oneself reestablishing the person's sense of who they were and allowing them to set even bigger goals than before. So it's a really cool conversation. I'm really thanks, Jared, for really sharing what you shared here. Awesome to hear what you guys have been up to, and I'm really glad that you guys got this podcast going and raising mental health awareness in regard to concussions, because concussions are not just isolated to hitting your head. They're related to PTSD in some cases. They're related to sleep disorders, depression, anxiety, substance misuse, the whole gamut of things. And so it's a topic people are uncomfortable with, and I'm glad that you guys are brave enough to tackle that.
And I got to think, after this weekend's NFL, there's going to be a few more laces out, Einhorns out there from Pet Detective. Holy smokes, talk about pressure.
Could be.
That's the sports enthusiast in me coming out, and me trying to say that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's tennis elbow, whatever your ailment is, we're all going to deal with something, and to develop and have that winning mindset that most motocrossers, well, they know it already have anyway, because the sport just instills it in you, and it breeds that second level of commit. It's really good to keep the conversation going and to learn more. For me, it's allowed me to feel confident, and I've never felt confident about it. There's a lot of people in my life that don't understand, that may never understand, and I've accepted that. And that in myself, or that in itself, like you said, Kevin, is an example of healing.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that PTSD is the tough one because, before my PTSD kind of came to the surface, I kind of always thought, like, yeah, PTSD sucks, but there's really no way of truly understanding what toll it can take until it happens to you, I guess. It's hard to describe, like, the toll, it's crippling, really, and there's things that can trigger you, and they can ruin your whole day or week or month, whatever it may be, but... I think just bringing more awareness to that side of it, and yeah, I, it's yeah, it's tough for people that haven't experienced it to truly understand it.
No, I can relate totally because triggers, that's a big thing for me. And, you know, not feeling safe at times, it comes and goes. But I'm content with progress and, you know, I'll never be perfect. I never have been. My story validates that. So I'm in a good spot. I've got a beautiful wife and a great support system and friends that care about me. And people out there need to know that they have that. And that's the most important thing, in my opinion, to squashing stigmatism is no matter what anybody says, no matter what comes out of their mouth in regards to how they're feeling, that's how they feel. That's how I feel. That's how I felt all my life on certain things. Certain things are not going to change. Anyway, Jared,
yeah,
thanks so much, my friend.
Yeah. Real quickly here, I'm going to give a shout-out to Brad Gutek. Just was at his service today. Yeah, really unfortunate. But if you want to help out, you can go to the Bent Method's Instagram page, and we have a link in our bio for his GoFundMe for his family. So, yeah, I think that's also something that maybe when stuff like this happens, we talk a lot. Like, we're all quick to jump on mental health and everything, but me and my wife were actually having a conversation with someone on the weekend, and they're like, well, I don't think the family gets talked about enough and how much that impacts them. So, yeah, if you're willing to go to their GoFundMe page and donate, that would be greatly appreciated. And I think we're going to do something with our T-shirts eventually, and, yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and that's a really good point because the effect of PTSD and trauma indirectly on families with stigmatism, it's a vicious cycle. And I did not know Brad. I know that he was very closely knitted to the community, JC Sites and family, and my heart goes out. I wanted to get a hold of you to call on the show, and I knew what had happened. And, you know, part of me didn't want to call you, and that's wrong. I need to change that. It's uncomfortable as hell to say, hey, what happened? And you know what? I didn't do that. I just wanted to know that you were okay in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Sometimes the family wants to be kind of private about it, and, you know, they don't want to talk about that aspect of it, but I think it has to be talked about regardless. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's got to be really hard on those guys right now, and I'm hoping they're wishing the best for them.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to the Gutek family, and I am guilty. I was going to share the GoFundMe and contribute to it, but I had so much on the go here the last couple of days with this and everything else in life, but we will get there. Jared, once again, my friend, I'm so thankful we did this, and I can't wait to see you on the racetrack again. Hats off to you and the Bent Methods guys, your crew, for putting together that Hellbent Award and getting some cash for that guy that was full value for that award there a couple of weekends ago.
Yeah, I mean, we try to give back to the community whenever we can, and, you know, just, you know, be a part of a community is really important, I think, and just, I think that's helpful in mental health, too, just feeling like you're part of a community, and fortunately, we have a really great motocross community, and that's awesome. Thanks a lot, Brent, for having me on.
Okay, Jared, thank you, my friend. You're a busy man, and keep up the good work, and I look forward to catching up with you real soon. Kev, go ahead.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jared. It was awesome chatting with you. Look forward to seeing you in the races in the future.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
All right, friends. We will be back shortly with former Team Canada Motocross of Nation manager, the guru behind the Cycle North race team, and so much more in Canadian motocross. Miss Courtney Lloyd will check in with Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio. The chair's on the air. We'll be right back.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Jared.
See ya.
bet.
You're listening to the Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio Show. Now introducing our special guest. Here are your hosts, Brent Worrell and Kevin LaFave.
Just in time, Kevin, please welcome former Team Canada Motocross of Nations front lady and Cycle North boss, Courtney Lloyd, to the Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio Show. Court, thanks for being here.
Courtney, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
That's just me trying to say too many things at the same time to squeeze it all in, but we've got lots of time left. You've got 57 minutes. Are you good?
Oh, geez, that's a long time to have to listen to me.
Well, I tried to get the Zoom thing fired up, but we're not going to do that. Everybody knows what you look like, what we look like. But more importantly, we're going to talk about some things that we have a common bond, a passion for, and that is the sport of motocross, health, fitness, life, love, the pursuit of happiness, you name it. Thanks for being here.
Hey, no worries. I appreciate you doing this. You guys, Kevin, you've been really insightful on this. And Brent, just knowing your story,
you.
I think it's super important that you're sharing it, and to have some wisdom behind all this is really, I think it's super cool that you guys are doing this.
Yeah, I'm super grateful that I have Kevin to help make sense out of things and to bounce things off of. And, you know, he's been in the field a long time. When I started to do this whole thing, so I thought I have more bashes and horror stories with mental health than Imelda Marcos had shoes, and he's got more, you know, more degrees than Tom Brady has Super Bowl rings, so why not do this? Let's jump in and do this. And I'm not even really ready to say how this whole thing came about, but trust me, it was not by anything that I had planned to do or wanted to do, because I've thought about doing this for a long time, but I really avoided it because I was in a deep, dark hole, and I didn't want to be here anymore, and not on the air. I mean, what I didn't want to be was on planet Earth.
Well, we're glad you are, and I think that's something that we've all struggled with from time to time. So for you to share your story and normalize the conversation, especially in motocross, I think is super important, because I think until Tanner and Jared and you started kind of having these conversations, none of us talked about it at the track. None of us talked about it outside of the track. And now that the conversations are more open, there's more people in our sport that are suffering with it than aren't. And I think that's due to you guys, you know, Keelan and Jared. And it's just, it was one of those things we just couldn't talk about and didn't. And so for you guys to do that is pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and it really feels good. It's been very therapeutic for me, too, you know, just realizing that, you know, with the COVID and everything. And for me, it all started when I isolated myself in my back bedroom for 2 years to process my life writing my book, the isolation, and then COVID hit, and it was just like a double dose of, you know, what the hell is going on, for short of a better term, right, when you're dealing with you know, certain things and having to overcome things. And it's just, it gets to a point in life where you become so worn out and tired of the same shit that your options for somebody dealing with mental health are only one thing. And I'm thankful that I was able to reach out in my darkness, realizing that I've come this far. And, you know, I know that based on others that I've seen, that there is hope. And in order for there to be stories to gravitate to, I feel compelled to share mine because we all have a story.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Okay, so I met you in Kamloops around 2012, that first pro national. You were there on that little Honda thing, big smile on your face. You had Ross Johnson, Brad Moddett. We're talking like, what, 9, 10 years later, you're still doing the same thing, and your passion has only intensified and accelerated. And I can't imagine how it felt to be you watching our team do that great job that they did a couple of weeks ago in Italy.
Yeah, it was really an emotional day for sure, because, I mean, I know everyone knows the story that I ran the team and then I quit. So to see them go, I was super proud, but then my selfish side was like, I should be the one who's there. So it was really like I had to kind of shut that part of my brain off because it wasn't fair, and just really be proud of the boys. And I think all the riders and I have such a really good connection that it was hard for me to stay grouchy or bitter because I was just so proud of them for being there. And but it takes a toll on you. And it's, you know, there was moments where I was like mad, I was sad, I was happy, you know, all the feels that day. But yeah, I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them for putting it all together. And I don't know really what the program looked like. I was too disconnected from it, I guess, to kind of want to know all the ins and outs. But it was emotional, and at least the team was there, and that's the most important thing, that the riders got to go, and they had a really good team, and they worked their butts off to be there. So it was good.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I watched it like a hawk, and I burnt the candle on both ends that weekend. That's my wife's birthday, and we went to the island, had an awesome time there. But I mean, like, I was up all night and couldn't sleep, like knowing that I was going to get 3 hours of sleep and have to wake up and miss it. And, you know, but I mean, it was awesome. And I was thinking about you a lot. And I saw that Instagram that you posted from home with you, mom and dad in that cozy little room there. That was kind of special. That must've felt good to have them there with you watching it.
Yeah, I think they knew it was kind of going to be a bit of a hard day on me. So at 3:30 in the morning, they showed up at my door, and I'm like, oh, why? But once they got in and they were watching with me, I was actually really happy that they were there, because, yeah, it's definitely an emotional thing, and it's something that I'm the most proud of, but then I have the most kind of trauma from as well when it comes to the online comments and dealing with certain people that kind of forced me out of it. And so all those emotions come back, because you can kind of disconnect from it, because it's only once a year that race comes around and people are only kind of talking about it once a year. So you can kind of push all that down. But then when it's actually the week of it or the weekend of it, and I'm seeing everyone on Instagram, and it's like, I kind of get into, yeah, a bit of an emotional, I go very internal, and my family knows that when I go internal is kind of when I'm struggling a little bit. So they showed up here in the middle of the night to watch it with me, which was nice. So
it's so nice that you have those gauges in your personal life to be there for you and recognize when things are, because, you know, you talk about it being a 1 week thing, and I'm here to remind you that for you, it was not, because you put your heart and soul into it throughout the calendar year, and it's evolved into something that's turned into a whole lot of fun annually at Walton Raceway. We were there this year. You heard Tanner speak on the ride. I've got Kevin talking about coming, other people. I can't wait to go back. And, not alive. This whole mental health movement is turning some things that were not so fun to deal with into something that's going to be a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, reunite our passions and get us all back to where we want to be. And that's at the racetrack.
Yeah, I agree with you. That ride that Tanner does is so good. And I've wanted to go on it every year, but like, I can't keep up with those guys. There's no chance. So Husky let me an e-bike this year, and like, you know, I wasn't the fastest person there, and I didn't really keep up with you guys, but at least I finished it and I rode home. So I was super proud of myself for that. Tanner raising a lot of money and a lot of awareness, because every year you see more and more riders going on it, more people talking about it. And so I think it's a good way to get everyone out and get into some fresh air and just doing something together. And just talking about mental health, which I think is one of the most important things we can all do.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I mean, I honestly, about two-thirds of the way there when you and Ms. Gisborne caught up to me there just before Cowbell, I thought, you know what, Aramel, just keep going. Just deny the senses. You've got this. You're going to make it. It was a haul, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was brilliant. I was just about to quit, too, and I was like, I can't do this. There's no chance. I'm phoning Carrie. She can come get me. And then I seen you up ahead, and I was like, okay, Courtney, get it. Like, if Brent can do this, his arms must be so tired. And
I've got it on
so
video.
Strong,
plug your ears, sensitive people. Fuck it. I've got this. There's airmail. You motivated
so you
me not only to go back next year, but I want an Olympic gold medal now.
You should get that because, yeah, it was a lot. I mean, for Tanner, I heard him when he was talking to you guys saying it was hard. Like, imagine for someone who hasn't been on a bike in 25 years. Like, it was hard.
And you know what I love about this thing? It this whole thing, Kevin, it's lit a fire in me. One of the first Instagrams I see in Swift Current, practically, or maybe you've been back a couple of days, is you got a brand new bike and you're fired up for next year already. Colin Marshall Welt note.
Well, yeah, I got to beat Marsh next year. That's just what the competition's going to be about.
It's a fun time of year in the sport to be following the Supercross contracts. It was nice to see Josh Cartwright, a rider that I think has got a lot of talent, who spent some time in Canada, signed a new deal, lots of deals out there. Logan Carnot and, you know, our guys more soon. It's silly season in moto.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Okay, let's talk about maybe this weekend, Courtney, heading into to Chilliwack, a place where you have a very steep, rich winning history. What's going to shake down for this Future West Arena Cross Series if your best plan comes together?
That's a good question. Tanner's never been out here before, so I don't know kind of these kids that live out here. They've grown up in the barns, and we have a lot of talent under our tent this year. Like, Tanner's coming out, but we have Marcus Ducey from Williams Lake who's riding for us. We have Ethan Ouellette from the island who's riding for us. A ton of amateur kids. So I'm not good at predicting it. I just hope that everyone gets out safe and sound, and Arena Cross is pretty brutal sometimes. So as long as the boys just walk away healthy and with a little bit of money in their pockets, then, you know, then I think that we're good.
Yeah, that competitiveness that comes out of there. And, you know, getting back to the Motocross of Nations, I'm so thankful that our team got to go. And, you know, I mean, I was shocked that it came together as quickly as it did, and obviously it didn't. It was well planned by the crew that went. But for guys like Jake that you nurtured, Julian Bennick, all these young kids west, east, across the country, to see what you did pay off and blossom into something that is now, has not only given our riders carrots to shoot for dangling in front of them, but it's put us on the world stage. I mean, what our riders did was just next level gnarly. When I posted that time of Dylan leading Carioli, everybody in the open practice, I mean, that blew a lot of people away, but not us, because that kid's
an
animal.
We have a lot of talent up here, and I think kids up here, riders up here, are very underrated by the rest of the world. So when we can go overseas and we can show people, like, hey, we have a lot of talent here. And then the cool side for me is, like, we did that youth ambassador program with Team Canada. And the majority of those kids that we've brought to be the youth ambassadors have now been put on pro teams. They got pro contracts the next year. I mean, Jacob just won the championship and he rode for Team Canada, whereas 3 years ago, Jacob was our youth ambassador for Team Canada. So seeing those kids come full circle for me is super important. And I think it's really touching. And, you know, a lot of the West Coast kids in the past, they feel like they haven't got a lot of attention. So I think it's been really important to give them the attention that they deserve. And I think people are starting to pay a lot more attention to that, which is really, really awesome.
Yeah, and to think that a rider like Darian Sinai, who was, you know, arguably the fastest rider at the last round, he was in Europe 7 years ago, not very old at all, but what he got out of that and how it's paid itself forward, it's big time.
Yeah, it's cool. And Dylan's heading over there too now, so I'm really, really excited for him. It's really neat for a Canadian rider to be going over and racing GPs. I think, wasn't JS the last person to do it?
I'm not sure exactly who the last rider were. I mean, I go back to the 80s. I think to Mike Harden and going back there in 1985 and winning a 500cc championship, stealing it from Rollerball. But I know Rollerball had some misfortune. Anybody that has made that move will tell you. I mean, I know others, thinking back to, you know, Sarnia's Dave Beatty. Other guys in Canada, my era, went back and spent some time in Europe, and it paid dividends big time because it's really next level. We just don't see enough of it over here. The international scene is where it's at.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, it gives us something to cheer for. I mean, we're in an off season right now. We have Arena Cross starting, but then there's like a 3-week break. So it gives us someone to cheer for on a Sunday afternoon, which I think is sweet.
Yeah, and Dylan's full value for it. He's worked very hard. And, you know, the amount of respect he has out there amongst his peers in the 450 Christ class right now, I mean, Jess's year exceeded, I think, what he expected. It was great to interview him on our first episode of this Motocross Save My Life Mental Health Talk Radio. But, I mean, we're in a really good space. And, you know, Dylan knows what Jess has got, and Jess knows what Dylan's got, and those guys are doing their homework on the weekends on their own. And next year is going to be a great moto, and I can't wait to see where Dylan stacks up on the world stage.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All right, Kevin, you still with me, or did I put you to sleep too?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. No, I'm still here.
All right.
Gordy, I'm just glad that you're on the show here, and I just really want to just, you know, kind of thank you for everything that you've done for Canadian riders, especially BC riders, and that your efforts, they are sure noticed and they're sure appreciated. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice of you to say.
Yeah, and just know that from Gisela and I, you are appreciated, Courtney. I mean, what we see you do week in and week out and how you challenge yourself. And I've just recently figured that out since I've been working with Kevin, the goals that you set and the things that you do. And when you say you're going to do them, I'm like, wow, that's a busy girl. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch her and see how she does that. And you never disappoint me. And that's why I'm so proud to call you a friend.
I do sometimes feel like I take off more than or bite off more than I can chew, but it's also what keeps me going, you know, like I just love feeling passionate about something. And for my body and my brain, it's motocross and whatever that looks like at the time, whether it's arena cross, outdoor, Team Canada, even just our local club or holding a local race. Like, it doesn't really matter what the level is to me. For some reason, it feels the same. So it feels to me like I have a purpose because I don't, you know, I don't have a family. I don't have kids. I don't have all that. So for me, like, motocross feels like it is my purpose. And
yeah,
some people think that's weird. And some people think that that's, you know, they tell me all the time online that it's weird, but it's me. And it's just what keeps me going. And it's what keeps my head on straight. So in a selfish way, it's given me way more than I've given it. So it's just important for me to stay in it and be a part of it. And I've met the most incredible people through it, and people who, you know, I'm from a small town in the north. It's not a lot of heavy discussions happen a lot of the times up here. So meeting people that are open-minded and people that I can have hard conversations with, and it just keeps me grounded and it keeps me going, I think. And I just love it so much.
Yeah, I love that too. The sense of purpose and direction that we all need. And especially when you talk about, you know, dealing with things, trauma, mental health, anxiety, things that are uncomfortable, things that cause us to maybe not participate in things that we want to participate in. The fact that, you know, we have the bonds that we have at the motocross track, it's like no other sport, in my opinion. And that's why I keep coming back. And I'm just going to keep giving back as best I can until the day it's time to go somewhere else. All right, Kevin.
I think
that's
for
it.
Me, it keeps my anxiety. It's okay. It keeps my anxiety at bay a little bit, being that busy, because then when I'm not doing that kind of stuff is when I start to spiral, and when my anxiety and depression is at its worst is when I'm very idle. So I think the more I stack on my plate sometimes, it helps me because it helps me channel that nervous energy or that anxiety into something that's kind of positive, as opposed to just hiding in my bedroom for a week eating, you know? So that's just how I deal with it.
Definitely. Happy to hear that you've got Marcus Ducey on the team. I pulled out an old two-stroke Tuesday photo that I almost posted up yesterday of Marcus on the number 41 Yamaha. And a very good lad, very well-read young Marcus Ducey. Good luck, Marcus.
Yeah, he's an awesome kid. Their family's amazing.
All right, Court. Who else would you like to thank for making everything possible from the home ship onward to the weekend and beyond?
I think just you guys and Tanner and Jared and Keelan for doing what they're doing. I think on the racing front, kind of everyone knows who sponsors our team and stuff, but I just want to take this opportunity just to thank all you guys for what you're doing, for Kevin to bring some, you know, knowledge behind all this and a little bit of expertise, because we're all just doing it kind of by the seat of our pants a little bit. And so for you to do this for us and to just volunteer your time is pretty incredible, and thank you.
Thank you. And I sure appreciate you taking lots of risks and just being so open. And I sure appreciate you saying, well, I bite off more than I can chew, because set big goals. You know, really small town girl from up north who led Team Canada. I mean, those are big goals, and that in itself is an inspiration. So thank you, Courtney, for setting such big goals and keep setting big goals.
No worries. Thank you.
Set bigger goals, in fact. Let's get greedy here. Really selfish. Set bigger goals.
Okay, let's do it.
But I appreciate your passion for the scene, whether it's local, international, regional. You know, it's just awesome to hear. You had a great team of riders under your tent there.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. I would like to thank you both. Thank you all our listeners for checking in with the show. This is our second episode. We'll do another one next month. Check out the archive, www.brentworld.com, Mental Health Talk Radio. As I said, self-supporting through my Motocross Save My Life contribution, 3 years of my life into that, 2 years to write, 9 months to self-publish. And in spite of some of the content and some of the feedback I've got from some of the people that are actually quite close to me, in fact, it is to this day the thing that I am the proudest, the most of. And in my opinion, when we cannot share our experience, strength, and hope with mental health, we only doom ourselves to a grave outcome. So I don't want to do that. I want to be here, and I think you all do too. Thank you all, my friends, till we meet again.
Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Kevin.
All right.
Thanks, Courtney. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you all. Good luck to all this weekend at Future West Moto. Dylan Wright going to line up over at the MXGPs. Good luck, buddy. It's been a while. I haven't caught up with you. I look forward to it real soon. Till then, Airmail out.
Brent reminds you that PTSD, trauma, and mental health issues are real. Whatever your issues, Brent wants to help. His understanding is grounded in his being and always being a survivor and advocate. You can find out more at BrentWorld.com, where you can get books, watch videos, and of course, listen to the podcast. Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Motocross Save My Life podcast with your host, Brent Airmail Worrall.